Good morning, everyone. My name is Father Stephen Buting, and I will be the new associate pastor here, at least for the summer. When the days for Jesus is taken up, being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. In this one sentence, we have an entire picture of what I want to preach to you about this summer. It could not have worked out any better, because last weekend we celebrated our final feast day Sunday, and now we dive into ordinary time proper. The season retraces with Jesus his journey to Jerusalem and gives us the chance to learn from him along the way. Our gospel readings for the next 10 weeks, in fact, will do just that. And so it makes sense that we begin by looking more closely at this first verse that you have either in your ritual song or right there in your missalette in front of you. By the way, what I'm doing right now, you can do with any chunk of sacred scripture, with a good commentary, and you'll find endless treasures. Talk to me anytime for some good suggestions about those. So first, when the days were fulfilled, the time is ripe. Luke the evangelist is a big fan of history and likes to cue his readers into when the drama is beginning to unfold. He links Jesus' life to various historical figures, important events, and well-known places. And here in chapter 9, he cues the reader into the fact that a major section of Jesus' life, his mission, has concluded, and a new phase has begun. He has preached in the northern region of Galilee, where he comes from, and he's had some success, but a lot of rejection from different sides. His first homily, for example, almost got him thrown off a cliff. So I thank you in advance for your patience and understanding. You're already much more calm than the villagers of Nazareth. Now, Jesus goes up to Jerusalem to be taken up. Being taken up refers to his ascension, where he is taken up to be with the Father after he commissions his disciples. But it also means all that would happen in Jerusalem during Holy Week, his passion, his death, and his resurrection, which we collectively call the Paschal Mystery. Also important to note is the use of the passive voice. He is being taken up. Jesus accomplishes the will of the Father, and it is the Father who directs the scene. He's going to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the center of worship for all Jews, the site of the Passion, and the birthplace, as we know, of the church in the Acts of the Apostles. In other words, he's going ahead definitively with his mission to make his Father known and to save the world. And it says he's resolutely determined. Literally, he sets his face toward Jerusalem. Now, though it takes Luke a full 10 chapters to describe Jesus' journey and to finally get him to Jerusalem, to the temple, we know even back here in chapter 9 where he's headed and why. And then finally, it says at the end, as a protocol, he sends messengers ahead of him along the way to announce the coming of the kingdom and to prepare a place for him to preach. So in summary, the time is ripe. Jesus is approaching his destiny along a winding but definite journey, and he goes to worship and to proclaim the kingdom's coming. The question I have for us today is, are we all in to follow him? We know his mission, and we know the destination. All we have to do is decide. Yet how many times have we sat on the edge of a big decision and just stayed in that place of painful uncertainty? We've all faced do-or-die moments in our lives, especially in the growing up process, but also beyond. For me, one of them was making the leap, to apply for seminary. Though obviously there's still time for discernment within seminary, saying yes to enter is making a pretty public statement. And that statement takes courage, it really does. Now, unless you're allergic to family life, the idea of a spouse, and all the many blessings that come with that, the sacrifices inherent in entering the seminary, the things that seemingly you have to give up, should make anyone pause before just rushing in blindly. Yet if the way becomes clear, as it was for me, those very types of decisions that we make, whether related to our work, whether related to relationships, houses, where to live, that I and you have to make at key moments in our lives prove our mettle. They reveal our true character, what lay behind the surface the entire time. Now, this can be comforting or discouraging, depending on how we respond. Now, normally, nothing nearly as dramatic as the movies happens in our lives. But the gravity of these decisions should weigh on us nonetheless. Yet how many of us think about our decision to follow Jesus as one of these big decisions? I'll rephrase my question from earlier. What could it mean to be all in for Jesus? One answer among many that we'll talk about this summer is the following. Being a disciple, following our Lord, means being willing to let go of those things that keep us from growing in our faith life. All of our readings reflect on this answer in different ways. At the invitation of Elijah, his successor Elisha gives up his whole livelihood to follow the prophet. You notice he says he slaughters the animals, he uses his tools for fuel to cook them, and then he follows him really without knowing the way or the destination. The Apostle Paul in our second reading talks about a different kind of letting go. He talks about the moral sacrifices necessary to free ourselves from the yoke of slavery to sin. The spirit and the flesh, as we know in our Christian tradition, war with one another, and our actions often reveal which one we feed. And lastly, Jesus in our gospel invites would-be followers along the journey. His message is the same for each. He says, be prepared for hardships, to sacrifice for the kingdom of God, to put God first on your priority list, to set your hand to the plow and not to look back. And in case you or I have never plowed, the answer is I have actually never plowed, but I'd like to one day, that if you look back, what is necessarily going to happen, right? Who is able to walk a straight line with their eyes closed? Extremely talented people, but the average person, no. You start going all over the place. And the moment that you look back while you're using the plow, you immediately veer off, and suddenly all of your rows are disjointed. His sayings are hard. Notice that his would-be followers never respond to what he says. It's as if Luke, in presenting these stories to us, wants Jesus to be talking through his words to us specifically. His sayings are hard, and we might want to try to lessen the force and explain away the radicality of the call. But I think we have to resist that temptation, because ultimately there is no neutrality in the Christian life. You cannot take parts of heaven into hell or parts of hell into heaven when all of this comes and goes. So I ask you again, and I will ask various times this summer, Are we all in to follow Jesus? Now, in whatever way I can, I want to help you, and I ask that you would help me to answer yes more confidently, especially before Father Nathan returns in October. We want to give him a good impression that we not only didn't burn the church down, but we also maybe helped a person or two. So if he asks in October, just say yes, please. Thank you. Now, what would it look like for us to say yes more confidently in October? What would it look like for you in your particular case? I'm sure you can think of one or two things this summer that would really help to grow your faith life. Now, different things would work for different people, but it starts with our worship here at Mass and overflows into our lives as Catholics. So it's here that we begin our journey, hearing the intention of our Lord to go to Jerusalem and to send messengers ahead of him. Are we prepared to follow him along the way?